Genesis 26, verses 1 to 35. I turn back to this chapter for the fourth and final time. And from the life of Isaac, I try to draw out some spiritual lessons for God's people today. I'm speaking to believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we've seen, God's people can pass through various difficulties in this life. We also have seen, alas, that God's people are not perfect. We still sin. And we've learned from these lessons. We've also seen the hand of God blessing his people. Now, in this final discourse, I want to turn to this matter. God's people, yes. What does God expect from us? What should be our response to him? What does God require of us? And I use the word require. The scriptures show us that God rules us, governs us. The law of Christ is over us, brother and sister. As believers, we are under the law of Christ. God expects from us. Of course, he gives to us. He gives us bountifully. But we have responsibilities and duties. God requires, God expects. Well, let me show you what I mean. In verse 2 of Genesis 26, we have this. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live," and so on. So God gives Isaac instruction. Well, pretty well. But look at verse 6. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Now let's put the two together. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Stay here." So Isaac stayed there. Well, that's obvious. No, it's not obvious. The Lord said to him, and Isaac obeyed. There is the principle. God speaks to us, brother. God speaks to us, sister. He speaks to us in his word by his spirit, and he expects us to obey him. Trust and obey, yes. We look into the law of liberty, and we obey it. We don't turn from the word and forget it. You get the same in verse 24. In verse 24, that night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." Very well. Tremendous promise. The response, verse 25. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and so on. I see he worshipped. I see he believed, that is. The promise had come to him, and he trusted the promise. And he went on in the light of that promise. These are great principles. This is what God expects of me. He expects me to walk in his way. It could be put clearer. Verse 5, rather. It couldn't be put clearer. Abraham obeyed me and kept my commandments, my commands, my decrees, and my laws. This man, his father, and he now, in the same, has to do it. Be a man of obedience. Now let me deal with this. My requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws. There are those who say, this proves that Abraham had the Ten Commandments. There are many other laws beside the Ten Commandments. Of course God has instructed this man. Of course he has given him commandments, requirements, decrees, and laws. And given him promises, too. But he hasn't had the law of Moses. That hasn't come yet. Moses is not even born yet. Israel's not formed yet. No, he has revelation from God. We've seen that. Isaac has revelation. Here's a commandment. Stay here. Don't do this. Don't do the other. Circumcise your boy and all the rest of it. God has spoken to Isaac. He's spoken to Abraham. He's speaking to these men. He gives them his commands, decrees, and laws. But to jump from that to say they had the Ten Commandments is ridiculous. There's no evidence of that. In fact, it's impossible, is it not? Because the Ten Commandments haven't been given yet. That is on Mount Sinai, centuries later. But these men are still men of revelation and promise. That is to say, God has spoken to them. But they're men of obedience too, and this is what God expects. They're also men of work and duty and responsibility. They trust the promises of God, but they don't sit back and do nothing. Verse 12, Isaac planted crops. Well, and he reaped. Well, so what? Verse 19, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water, and so on. Verse 25, Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. You see all this? These men are men who trust the promises of God. God will bless them. So they sit back and do nothing, not at all. They trust the promise, but they work. They trust the promise, they obey the command. It's Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13. We work out because God is working in and has worked in. There's this holy balance. There's this way of obedience. There's this way of responsibility. There is this way of yielding to God in obedience to his commands, rules, laws. This is not legal. This is not legalism. This is obedience. As Jesus told us in the New Covenant, if a man loves me, he will obey my commands. The idea that we are sort of free of all governance and rule and direction by the Word of God is completely and utterly out of order. We are in the New Covenant, under law, Christ's law, not the law of condemning power and stone of Moses, but under the law of Christ. This is the law of God to us. And brother and sister, we are men and women who trust the promise, rely upon the promise, upon the God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ of the promise. But we're also workish and obedient, working not for our salvation, but working out our salvation. We are trusting and obeying. And of course, we're sensible and wise. In this dispute here, we read in 27 to 31, Isaac with the other men there, the men of the place, and there was this dispute about wells and land and so on. They come to some agreement, and it's a sensible way of going on. He's not so trusting in God, as it were, that he won't keep his powder dry. Let me emphasize these words again. What does God expect? Trust, belief, reliance, obedience, work, and living out our lives before the pagan in quiet obedience to God. This holy balance, God's people, what does God expect? Brother, sister, will you trust our God and Father? Will you rely upon our Lord Jesus Christ today? Will you believe his word? Will you submit to his word? Will you walk in the light of his word? Will you obey his word? Whatever he says to you, will you do it? That's how Mary spoke at the wedding in Cana, John 2. This is the holy balance I see here. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.